You are Locked On Broncos, your daily podcast on the Denver Broncos, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
This one's for Pat! The ball is free! Denver's got it! Touchdown, Denver!
Here's your host of Locked On Broncos, NFL analyst Cody Rourke.
Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Broncos. Now, Broncos country, I hope you guys had a very Merry Christmas. I hope you had a very exciting holiday. I know I did over here. I got some Broncos stuff. I'll tell you about that later on here in the show. A lot of just cool things. And I think overall, I had a very good Christmas experience, spending time with family and loved ones and kind of, you know, giving to other people. I think that's the most important thing when we look at the holiday season. It's not about what you get. It's about what you give. And I think that's super important. So now I hope to give you guys a late Christmas present by obviously bringing you another episode of Locked On Broncos. Now on tonight's show, we're going to recap the Broncos' loss on the road to the Redskins and kind of analyze how Kirk Cousins did and see what rumors pick up from there. We'll obviously analyze the season as it's going. We're approaching our final week of the NFL regular season for the Denver Broncos, not making the playoffs this year for the second year in a row. But a cool thing is we're going to be joined tomorrow by Ryan Tracy and Chris Clark over there at Locked On Chiefs. Now, I'm very excited about doing that, talking about the Redskins-Broncos matchup recap, what they saw from it, and obviously a look ahead to the Kansas City Chiefs and the Denver Broncos matchup. Are we going to see Patrick Mahomes? We possibly could as the Chiefs get ready to play in the playoffs. Now, they really have nothing left to play for in Week 17, so they could come out and rest some starters, but overall, the Denver Broncos, just this whole season has been a disappointment. It's been a very strategic disappointment, and that's the hard part about it. But the show must go on. Now we must look forward to the NFL draft, obviously building through free agency, looking ahead to next year. We'll talk about that here a little bit later on the show. But before we get to all that, I want to take the time to tell you guys to go check out Matt Williamson over at Locked On NFL. Matt does a great job of bringing you daily content, news, analysis on the NFL, the week, the marquee matchups, the primetime games that you see. Now, there's going to be no Sunday night football game this week, so every game is going to end about 4:25 p.m. is the last round of games for them to start. So probably around 7:30 Eastern time, all NFL games will have concluded in Week 17, but Matt Williamson has the recap with everything over at Locked On NFL. Be sure to give him a follow. And you know, I just think going back and looking at this Redskins-Broncos game, it was frustrating. It was frustrating given the circumstances. Now, Zach Hicks joined me last week for our Locked On Broncos, Locked On Redskins crossover show, and we talked a lot about it. We talked about this matchup. Now, the Redskins were so battered. Were so battered health-wise, and they also sustained another injury. Obviously, Ziggy Hood, man, that arm elbow injury was nasty looking. I hope he gets well. But playoffs, obviously not a realization for any of these two teams. But the Denver Broncos just came out. Now, in the first half, I'd say the Broncos looked pretty good. Now, that was just on the defensive side of the ball. The running game was there. They were converting. They found themselves in a lot of manageable second and third and one situations. And they ran the ball, converted, moved the sticks. But, you know, like I said, the pass protection is absolutely an area that needs significant improvement on the Denver Broncos. It doesn't matter who's going to be a quarterback. Well, it does matter for a second. If you have a quarterback that is super smart, I think, like Kirk Cousins, and I'll tell you about how Kirk Cousins was smart, but we look in the past, we look at Peyton Manning. When Peyton Manning didn't really have a very good offensive line, I think the thing that we really failed to realize is how smart Peyton Manning was of checking out of situations or knowing where the blitz was coming and throwing against the blitz and getting the ball out of his hand quickly just because he knew the offensive line couldn't uphold pass protection that well. Now, Broncos don't have a guy like that, a quarterback, and ideally we're not going to see Brock Osweiler this week unless Paxton Lynch gets hurt again. Vance Joseph announced this morning in his morning press conference that Paxton Lynch, the goal is to get Paxton Lynch to play to see what Paxton Lynch has to say. You know, health-wise with that ankle, you just never can really discount how healthy he really is. Now, health has been a major concern of Paxton Lynch for the last two seasons. He's been a Denver Bronco. Now, I don't know if this last game we're going to really see the full thing from Paxton Lynch. Now, I think the Broncos ideally want to have kind of an observation of how he does overall. Yeah, I just don't see that happening right now with the Denver Broncos, you know, in a one-game situation. You're not going to see what Paxton Lynch can do in just one game. I think it's got to be maybe a 10-game sample size. Now, this leads to a quarterback controversy heading into the offseason. What are we going to see? Are we going to go after a free agent quarterback, a veteran guy like Eli Manning or Kirk Cousins, or are we going to draft a young guy like Baker Mayfield or Drew Rosen or Sam Darnold or Lamar Jackson? What are the Denver Broncos going to do? Either way, it appears to be like the Denver Broncos are heading towards another quarterback controversy that we're going to have to follow all throughout the summertime. And ideally, I hope this thing ends by March. I want to know who the quarterback is going to be day one in March. That's all I care about. I can't deal with another offseason, another training camp of a quarterback competition, because it's just, us fans are tired of it. Fans are tired of it. We just haven't been in this situation for quite some time, and it's very unfortunate. It's very unfortunate, but the show must go on, you know. The Broncos came out in the first half defensively and played very phenomenal football. They did very well at causing pressure, getting pressure on Kirk Cousins, and they did a very good job of corralling in the first half Samaje Perine. But I think the breakdown came after the offense suffered a turnover. Now, Brock Osweiler fumbled the ball trying to make a run up the middle, and the Redskins got it. And then the Broncos defense, obviously having a short field, you know, they scored a touchdown. The Redskins scored a touchdown, and at that point, Brock Osweiler comes out and throws an interception. Brock looked terrible. Now, I think, you know, I said, what was it, last week, that if the Broncos want to have a better chance to win throughout the rest of the, you know, the last two games of the season, you got to go with Brock Osweiler. Well, I think that may have been an overreaction, because when we watched the Indianapolis Colts game, their defense is terrible. Now, the Redskins' defense is actually pretty darn good. You have Josh Norman and Bashaud Breeland, and some, that secondary is phenomenal. Now, you have DJ Swearinger as well, a guy who's been in the NFL for quite some time. But the story of the game for this whole entire game that really disrupted the Denver Broncos is Ryan Kerrigan, man. And we talked about it. Zach Hicks joined me, and he told me that Ryan Kerrigan has games where he has more than two sacks a game. He's that type of player at left outside linebacker. He's a phenomenal player, man. I would kill to have a guy. Well, we do have a guy, but I would kill to have another guy like Von Miller and obviously Ryan Kerrigan. Now, Ryan Kerrigan tallied three sacks. He abused Donald Stevenson left and right for two sacks, and he absolutely bulldozed rookie tackle Garrett Bowles, and it was bad. I haven't seen the Broncos offensive line play this bad. Well, Philadelphia was pretty bad, but I haven't seen the Denver Broncos play this bad since the Oakland Raiders game in 2015 at home, where Khalil Mack destroyed Michael Schofield for five sacks in a game. It was just ugly. It was embarrassing. The fact that really the offense couldn't really put a tight end in to help chip on Ryan Kerrigan, it was embarrassing. It was absolutely embarrassing when you have a tackle that's getting his butt kicked. Now, Donald Stevenson, I don't know why they kept him in the game. Here's the thing that really bothers me. Now, early on in the game, we saw Cyrus Kwanjo over there at right tackle, and he had a phenomenal inside seal that sprung C.J. Anderson for about, I would say, 13, 14-yard gain. It was a beautiful, beautiful executed play. But the big issue that I really have is that we didn't really have any solidarity overall in the offensive line. It was bad all game. The offensive line struggled, and it's just this inconsistent tone that we've seen throughout the entire year, and it doesn't matter who's at tackle. Garrett Bowles is the most penalized tackle and has given up seven sacks on the year at left tackle. He's struggling in his rookie season. He had a very promising start the first 4 weeks of the season, and then he has just dropped off. He hasn't played that well football. And then at right tackle, Menelik Watson, who's not good at all, he went down. He gave up a lot of sacks this year, and then you have Donald Stevenson come in. He gives up sacks this year. I just don't get it. With how bad Stevenson was struggling, put Barber back out there at least. Or I just don't know why they didn't keep Cyrus Kwanjo in there at all. That just really baffles me, and that's a big reason why the Broncos lost the game. Offensive line play. Inconsistency once again on the offensive line leads to another Denver Broncos loss, because the offense can't control the game anymore. That you go from controlling the game and the clock in the first half, and then you go from completely squandering that in the second half to just looking inept overall. And that's just the frustrating tone of the Denver Broncos season. So, before we jump ahead, obviously, to the Kirk Cousins talk, I want to take the time to tell you guys about a cool gift that I really got from Christmas, and it was from my girlfriend. She got me a Google Home playlist. Now, if you have a Google Home device or Amazon Alexa, all you got to say is, hey, Google, play podcast Locked On Broncos. And then she'll turn it on and she'll play it.
All right, here's where you stopped in Locked On Broncos, December 22nd, crossover show with Locked On Redskins.
Live
game
plug.
Preview with Zach Hicks.
Heading into this game,
hey, Google, stop.
Being injured.
See, and then it'll play Locked On Broncos. That's pretty cool that, you know, Google Home has that kind of technology. And I encourage you guys, if you have a Google Home device, to really say it and just say, hey, Google, play Locked On Broncos. And I think that will open up a lot of fun things. I had to say it in a lower voice so she doesn't read it back to me once again. But that's pretty cool. That's pretty cool that we're at that point in age in technology. And I really encourage you guys, if you have a smart device like that, really utilize it. It's a pretty cool feature as well. But obviously, let's get into our Kirk Cousins talk now. Kirk Cousins was phenomenal. Now, I went back and watched the game film, and when you look at Kirk Cousins, you look at Twitter. Man, this is the thing that bothered me, too. You go on Twitter, and you kind of look around, and you see everybody just tweeting in the first quarter of the Broncos-Redskins games that, oh, Kirk, this is the guy the Broncos fans want. Kirk Cousins doesn't look that good. Well, Kirk Cousins was getting pressured left and right by Shaquille Barrett, Von Miller, Brandon Marshall on the interior, and the offensive line was struggling to uphold Kirk Cousins in the first half. Kirk Cousins had to get the ball, and he also had great coverage by Aqib Talib, Chris Harris Jr., Bradley Roby on Josh Dotson, Jamison Crowder early on. They ended up exploding in the second half, and I think a lot of that is because the Denver Broncos went back to a zone defense. Now, that's another thing that frustrates me about this entire game is the Broncos in the first half ran a lot of man coverage. They blitzed. They ran a lot of man coverage. They stuck gap. They were very good, and they went back to, in the second half, they went to a zone defense, a cover three, a cover four, and so cornerbacks are keeping everything in front of them, and then you just have breakdowns on the interior, the outside. You have a miscommunication by Chris Harris Jr. and Aqib Talib, who Chris Harris, you know, Aqib Talib said this morning on the Vic Lombardi show that, you know, Chris came over and Chris thought on the outside it was a DB, you know, thought it was Will Parks, but it ended up being Brandon Marshall. So Brandon Marshall really couldn't cover deep. And so that's where the miscommunication came late in the game, where Josh Dotson scored to kind of put the exclamation mark on the defeat of the Denver Broncos. But Kirk Cousins, man, he made some amazing throws. Hell of a throw on the one. It was a third down. He just took a shot. He let it go, and he just got hammered, and it was a wide-open play, and that was the exclamation point. The Denver Broncos got beat handily on the road, and once again, it's just a disappointing season, and this team, I tell you what, a tweet that got really popular, don't really encourage it. I created a Denver Broncos drinking game, and a lot of good feedback on it, but the thing is, I can't guarantee you won't get alcohol poisoning with it based on the criteria. One was, you know, you take a drink at Vance Joseph mouths, what happened? That's common. Or two, if Vance Joseph has his arms crossed on the sideline, that's the most common one. And this is where my frustration builds with Vance Joseph. I can't stand listening to this guy talk in press conferences anymore. I don't know about you. Tell me your thoughts about that. When it comes to Vance Joseph, what do you think? Tweet me right now, at Cody Rourke NFL, at Locked On Broncos. I'm eager to hear your thoughts, but I'm at the point where I can't stand Vance Joseph anymore. It's simply because he says the same things every week. He makes an excuse. Now, he makes an excuse for everybody. And a lot of it was, I look at coaches like Sean McVay, and this is a point that I made yesterday. I look at coaches like Sean McVay, Mike Zimmer. You look at all these guys that their teams are having a lot of success in the NFC right now, and Doug Peterson. When you watch a game with those coaches, those guys display emotion and passion. When there's a mistake, you can tell they get fired up. They talk to their guys about it. When the Broncos make a mistake, Vance Joseph looks at them and goes, "What happened?" He's very soft and very monotone with it. This is the NFL. You need to chew a grown man out for it. I haven't seen Vance Joseph show any ounce of emotion or fire on the sideline all season. What are we? We're approaching week 17. That's embarrassing. I'm sorry. I coached the game of football. I've played the game of football for many years. And one thing that I always appreciated as a player, I can't speak for many of the guys in the NFL. I know guys like probably Aqib Talib, Chris Harris Jr., they appreciate stuff like that. Wade Phillips would chew their butt if they weren't in position. One thing that really fired me up as a player was having a coach that was passionate. If we made a mistake and we came off the field after, you know, a PAT from the other team, the coach would be in our grill. He'd be chewing us out as a whole unit, saying we need to do our job. We need to get in position. We just don't have that. Vance Joseph is too nice of a guy as an NFL head coach, and that's why I can't stand him. I honestly can't stand him, and it's frustrating to say that because I coach. I get it. I get it, but Vance Joseph doesn't belong as a head coach in the National Football League. He just doesn't. He's a yes man. He seems like a people pleaser. That's just my opinion, though, and it's not fact. This is just my opinion. So I'm eager to hear what you guys have to say about Vance Joseph overall. I'm frustrated. I'm very frustrated. I haven't seen a Broncos team coach like this in many, many years, and from what I'm told now, my sources have told me that, originally Ian Rappaport reported that Vance Joseph would be safe for 2018, but my sources are now telling me that if the Broncos lose to Kansas City, Vance Joseph could be on his way out, and I say go for it. I say get rid of him because the Broncos have not looked competitive in over 2 weeks. They look competitive in spurts, and then they falter back to this regular thing. Vance Joseph was the one who said, well, we're going to implement more of a zone coverage. You wonder why he had such a terrible defense in Miami? It's because he went zone coverage, and he had guys who were pretty darn good in the secondary that could play man coverage. And he still has the best guys right now in the National Football League as cover corners that excel in man-to-man coverage, and he's not utilizing it one bit. And that's the part that really frustrates me the most, more so than anything, is that the Denver Broncos defense is being wasted. Under Wade Phillips, none of this stuff would happen. The Broncos wouldn't be giving up these many big plays. They'd be creating turnovers and getting to the quarterback often because Wade Phillips knew exactly what he was doing. Now, if the Broncos defense was getting hurt in any way, shape, or form, Wade Phillips would adjust. Wade Phillips had these guys adjusted very quickly. It didn't take long. It only took a series. If the Broncos got beat on one series, they came back the next series and smacked teams in the mouth. Now, if you don't believe me, I really encourage you guys to go watch the AFC Championship game in 2015, or heck, any game in the 2015 NFL regular season, and obviously Super Bowl 50. Watch how hungry, watch how relentless, watch how fierce this team was. Offensively and defensively, they had no fear. They had no fear of Tom Brady and the New England Patriots. They had no fear of NFL MVP Cam Newton or the Carolina Panthers. This defense looked so different. And I got depressed on Christmas Eve after all the Broncos games. I put on the AFC Championship game. I put on the Super Bowl 50. And I watched the team, and the energy, the morale on the sideline, on the field was so different. I really encourage you guys to go and watch that and then compare that to this season. It is so depressing at how far this team has fallen off from a morale standpoint, not let alone wins and losses. Being negative, missing the playoffs 2 years in a row. You missed the playoffs last year with a 9-7 record. You win one more game, you're in the playoffs, you're in the wild card spot last year. But this year, you're just not even competitive. You lose 8 games in a row. It's just embarrassing, and this is not Broncos football. Now, I look forward to getting back to Broncos football, and I have a very good feeling the Broncos will be back next year if Vance Joseph is not here. If Vance Joseph is here, I anticipate the struggle to continue. Now, there are some definite coaching options out there, I feel like, that could come in and make a big difference. Now, if you do fire a guy, maybe you bring in Bruce Arians as the head coach of the Denver Broncos. That would be, I think, in my opinion, would be amazing, Look at the Rams, though. I get jealous watching Sean McVay and Wade Phillips. I get jealous watching those guys because they're having fun. They're doing it the right way. Wade Phillips having fun. His defensive philosophy is working down there in Los Angeles. And my hat's off to him. We miss you, son of bum. We miss you, buddy, because it's just not the same without Wade Phillips here in Denver. And obviously, even at this point, weird to say it, but Gary Kubiak wouldn't allow this kind of stuff to happen to his team, let alone the amount of talent that the Denver Broncos have here. So that's just the frustrating part. And Broncos country, I'm sure you feel it as well, that this has just been an overall very frustrating season. It's a tiring, stressful season. We get our hopes up every week, and then the Broncos come out and they lose. Now, the Broncos defense has been playing their butts off all year. Chris Harris Jr., I sent him a message on Christmas just for encouragement, Christmas Eve, the day of the game. And, he responded, yes, sir. And, I just told him, after the game was over, I said, hey, I appreciate you working hard. I said, not a lot of people know the amount of work you put in behind the scenes, just to get good. And I said, people don't watch film a lot, and you're playing a hell of a year. Teams aren't thrown to you. Just want to say your hard work has gone on, hasn't gone unnoticed. And Chris Harris Jr. is a heck of a guy, a first-class guy. Definitely why a big pillar for when I was playing football. I kind of modified in my final season playing. I moved to a nickel corner spot where I covered the inside slot more so than the outside guys and had one of my best years. It's just a lot of studying what Chris Harris Jr. has done, being an undrafted rookie, being an underdog, having an underdog story, Chris Harris Jr. is a guy I look at on the Denver Broncos roster that deserves an award for resiliency. And obviously want to definitely shout out and thank Justin Simmons for winning the Darrent Williams Good Guy Award. Definitely a well-deserved award for Justin Simmons. And obviously Chris Harris Jr. for the Broncos nomination as Walter Payton Man of the Year, doing a lot of great work in the community as well. So, you know, when a season happens like this and the Denver Broncos are losing and it's just not competitive, it's not fun to watch, you look at all the good things that they are doing in the community, and a lot of that stuff kind of puts into perspective, and you really have to focus on the good stuff like that, because that's the only thing that's going to get you through a season like this. You got to look at the positives. You got to find the positives in every game. And when I look back at the Broncos game against the Redskins, I look at the positives that the Broncos excel in a man coverage scheme. Now, the zone coverage scheme, in my opinion, hurts them big time. And I don't know how the players feel, but I could imagine, maybe hazard a guess, that the players feel the same way. It's not fun. The zone defenses leave you vulnerable in the National Football League. You have to cover man-to-man. When you play a high school cover three, cover four system, or a cover two on one side where you roll, it's hard to have success in the National Football League against the kind of talent that you have out there, and you can see the talent all across the NFL. And the Broncos played some tough guys. Samaje Perine ran all over the Broncos in the second half. Kirk Cousins threw for 299 yards and three touchdowns. Could have had four touchdowns, but Kirk Cousins looked good. He put it on late, and he's a guy I think the Denver Broncos need to aggressively pursue in the offseason, because that's the difference. I look at the Washington Redskins. I see how battered they are on the offensive line. Injuries all around at the wide receiver position defensively. And Kirk Cousins, the Redskins are no different than the Broncos right now. The only difference is they have Kirk Cousins. They have a quarterback who's smart. And go back and watch the second half. Go watch late in the second quarter through the third and then the fourth quarter. You see a tremendous difference in terms of just IQ and making adjustments. And Kirk Cousins, man, he's the real deal. If the Broncos can get him in the offseason, I will be very happy. I'll be very pleased. And I'll be very eager to see what he can do in a Denver Broncos uniform next year, especially when you have some weapons to throw the ball to, and Demaryius Thomas, Emmanuel Sanders, whoever else is around, maybe even Carlos Henderson next year. That'll be a big point. But obviously, tight end, you have the return of Jake Butt in 2018. That's something we can all look forward to. Maybe get rid of Virgil Green, maybe keep around Jeff Heirman, and definitely keep Sunshine Jordan Taylor, man. That's another guy I want to give my game ball to. Sunshine Jordan Taylor, reliable, fields every punt return. Get some yards on punt returns, something the Broncos haven't done all year. He's doing a heck of a job there, and obviously a tremendous catch towards the end of the second quarter as halftime was approaching to move the Broncos into field goal range. And unfortunately, Isaiah McKenzie, a guy who I hope gets cut, because his just amount of play, his IQ, he has no football IQ, he has no awareness. His awareness rating on Madden should be zero. Isaiah McKenzie, 16 seconds left, no timeouts, catches an outside hook route, and then obviously runs inside instead of stepping out of bounds where you can kick the field goal, and maybe the game goes a different story. But the Broncos' energy, momentum, got sucked out of the air just like that, and it carried over into the third quarter, and then the Broncos just never recovered, and the Broncos fell to the Redskins. So very disappointing, 10 losses on the year, and it's just, Broncos sitting at 5-10, and obviously a tough matchup coming up with the Kansas City Chiefs, who have a lot of weapons. They're rolling now. They had that moment where they were, started off 5-0, and they lost five of their last six, and now they seem to be on the right ship again. Alex Smith playing very good football. You have Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Kareem Hunt. They're all playing very good football right now. The Chiefs' defense played a lot better over the last couple weeks, and they're getting ready to get bounced, in the playoffs. I don't think they're going to beat the New England Patriots. They could, but every week we have a game with the Patriots, there's always some kind of call that benefits the Patriots. But, hopefully we can see the Denver Broncos, return to glory next year. I don't believe in the world of rebuilding. I don't think the team's thinking about rebuilding. I think overall the Denver Broncos are going to be renovating, and they're going to come back next year, and they're going to have a lot of areas of need improved, especially in the offensive line and majorly at the quarterback position, some areas on defense, and hopefully the head coach spot's definitely an upgrade next year as well. So very frustrating. But the show must go on, and we're definitely going to bring you all the latest news analysis, and I can't wait for the free agency draft period, where we can have an in-depth discussion about some options and how the Denver Broncos can fix everything. But tomorrow, don't forget, Ryan Tracy, Chris Clark over there, Locked On Chiefs. We're going to have the crossover show tomorrow here on Locked On Broncos. Excited about that. Previewing the big matchup, Week 17. Chiefs, not much to play for. Broncos, just trying to play for pride. Hopefully end the regular season with a big win against a divisional opponent heading into next season, and a lot of question marks that need to be addressed. But obviously the last week of Broncos football. Very, very bittersweet, very sad, but hopefully it's on to better things. Hopefully the Denver Broncos can get everything fixed and going for next season, and we can bring back the happy times, the happy talk about the Denver Broncos. I feel for you. Send me pictures of your Twitter on Twitter of your Broncos gear if you guys got any for Christmas. We'll share it. We'll retweet it. Absolutely. Stay tuned. This month we're going to have a Locked On Broncos contest giveaway again, something Denver Broncos related that all of you listeners can obviously have a chance to win over here at Locked On Broncos. Be sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, leave a 5-star review, tell us why you love the show, and that will automatically enter you into all future contests for the giveaways. So I appreciate you guys once again listening to Locked On Broncos. This is your host, Cody Rourke, saying good night and go Broncos.